Just please turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. Last week we finished chapter 12 with Israel fleeing in the wilderness details to Jordan. And then we covered the first two verses about the Antichrist in chapter 13. And, you know, admittedly, Revelation is a difficult book. I look at it like a puzzle. This kind of fits into the study today. And actually, last week we did parallel passages. We went to go to Daniel to understand something that Revelation is saying. And so really God put together, you know, he's got this puzzle. And when he took all the pieces apart of what he knew was going to happen at the beginning before the foundations of the earth and before he had the scriptures inspired, you know, he takes the whole puzzle apart, takes all the pieces apart, spreads them out on the table, and then he picks up a bunch and he puts them into, okay, this is Jeremiah, this is Daniel, this is, and so we don't get to just go to one place, which God did in his wisdom, knowing how dumb we are, he knows that really that aspect is miraculous. It's miraculous that these different prophets over hundreds and in some cases separated by thousands of years, that they all come together, and if you figure out where this piece in Daniel fits into Revelation, oh, it's just like finding that missing piece when you're doing a puzzle, and you just go, oh, I've been looking all over for that piece, and then it fits. And so our desire going through this is by looking at the other scriptures, is so we can really see the revelation, the unveiling of Jesus in his second coming. And the whole motivation for doing it is not just so we can go, okay, I did a puzzle. It's the emphasis is, am I right with God? Am I right with this God that's unveiled? Am I ready for eternity? Because it's coming. Because someday Jesus is going to say, call the church home. He's going to let this world go into the last years before his coming that we're reading about here. And if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're going to go to be with him. And if it's not, you're going to be left behind. The scriptures say that. And there's a lot of churchgoers in the world today that are going to think they're okay with God, but because they're not trusting in the shed blood of Jesus as their lamb, they're going to be left behind. And so we study it. I want you to understand we're studying this so that we understand what our friends and neighbors that don't know him are going to go through, because that gives us a greater burden for them, a greater love for them, because they're deceived by the enemy of their soul. And it also makes us rejoice because we can see that this God who gave us this Bible had all those puzzle pieces, and he told us things about what's going to happen that we see happening. And we just go, wow, he's the real God. I am not delusional. No matter what Nancy Pelosi says or anybody in the Congress who wants to turn me into a domestic terrorist by the bill that they're saying and the kind of, you know, you religious fanatics, you know, you're the problem in this country. I don't care. You know, I don't care. Jesus said that would be the last days. And so it's just, okay, good. Do what you got to do. We're going to keep serving Jesus, right? So we're going to learn more about the Antichrist today. But the first two verses, which we went and spent a lot of time in Daniel with last week, so I'll just, you know, hit those. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea. This is the Antichrist, having seven heads and ten horns, and his horns ten crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth was like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him power. The dragon is Satan, gave him power, gave him his throne, and gave him great authority. So he's going to be the first person on the history of the world that is going to have the throne of the entire world. And he's going to have the authority to rule over the entire world. And he's going to have the power to deceive people, along with his right-hand man, the false prophet that we're going to get to today. He's going to have the power to deceive the entire world with great signs and wonders. What we learn in Daniel is that the lion is symbolic of the tyranny, because the lion in the Old Testament Daniel was Nebuchadnezzar, who was completely without restraint, tyrannical leader. So the Antichrist is going to be like a tyrant, and it's going to be like the bear in his ability to make laws, to control the people of the world. And the last one was the leopard, which was symbolic of the Grecian Empire, and Greece used culture and language. And we left it there, and I wanted to add just a little bit to that. Culture and language. See, when God saw man unified after the flood, shortly after the flood, you'd think it would take at least 1,000 years for people to get over the flood before they start rebelling against God. But right away, because of a wicked, evil man named Nimrod who led the people of the world, all speaking one language, he led them into rebellion against God by building this Tower of Babel. And he did it to say, we're going to make a name for ourselves. We're going to do something. We're going to, you know, God makes the universe. We're going to make a tower somehow. And actually, Josephus says his mind's thinking was that we're going to make a tower so high that if God decides to wipe us out by a flood again, we're going to be able to run and get away. That's what Josephus says his motivation was. And so God looks down on man and says, you know what? These men who we've created in our image, they are really capable of uniting and doing great evil. That's what men do. In their sinfulness, they gather together and they unite for evil. So we're going to bust them up. We're just going to put into their brains, they're going to update their software so they don't all speak the same language. And all of a sudden, the brain is, they're going to think they're talking normally, but they're going to all of a sudden be speaking in Greek and Hebrew and English and all these different languages. And all of a sudden the people go, whoa, I can't talk to you. And so they're running around through all these thousands, however many people were there. And, oh, you speak English too. Let's get together. Let's find everybody who speaks English and get together. And then they would then repopulate the different places of the world after the flood by scattering. And God says, I'm going to scatter them so that they don't unite in evil. So if one particular evil person like Hitler rises up, there's other people to put them down. And so that was a great wisdom of God to keep us from, you know, destroying ourselves in a short order. Well, so what Greece did is they said, we have to rule this world, and there's all these languages, so they forced Greek on everybody. Everybody has to speak Greek. And you are not allowed to use your normal language. We want you to learn Greek and nothing else. And we have this culture we want to spread. You have to be tolerant of other people. Now, so this Antichrist is coming is going to be a tyrant. He's going to use law and he's going to use language and culture. Do we see the beginning of that today? Are you saying that you can't necessarily say something that you want to say without being cancel cultured? Are people telling the truth? But if the truth is not allowed to be spoken, they can shut you down, as we've emphasized. The president got shut down on every single platform to be able to say anything. And that's whether he tells the truth or a lie. That person got canceled. So what does that do? What does that put into and instill into the population of the world? Better not say that. Better not do this. We now have, and it's on a global scale. These communication platforms have gone global because of technology. See, the Greeks, they just wanted to conquer their area, a small place on the globe. Nothing even affected the southern hemisphere of the prophecies associated with the global governments before. I mean, global as they applied to Israel, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greeks, Romans. Hardly anything affected the southern hemisphere. Now, the Bible is saying this last empire, Daniel said last week, he said, wow, this fourth beast, which is run by this guy, but it's a beast system. This fourth beast system is the whole world. That must have been shocking to him to see that as a prophet. And you can see it happening. And isn't even language, the ability to communicate with people, getting better with the technology that's here? You know, for $300, you can go to Pocket Talk. And it's P-O-C-K-E-T-A-L-K. So the T is shared for pocket and talk. PocketTalk.com. And for $300, you get 74 languages. And you can speak into this device, skip the lettuce, skip the salad, there's, you know, at a hamburger joint, and any one of the 74 places, and then you hand it to them, and okay, my language is Italian, and they hear what you said in Italian. And you just share it back and forth. I would say that people are going to improve the technology where you can put an earbud in. And what they've done with earbuds, I mean, it's just amazing. The sound-canceling earbuds, any of you have seen those, it just like blows your mind. And so you can put it in, and you can go, okay, you know, program it somehow with your phone. I'm going to program my ears. Okay, you're talking to me in Italian. And they go, okay, you're talking to me in English. And then you start talking. And it'll just, okay, it'll get to them, and they go, and then come back to you. Can you imagine that? And that technology is being worked on because of artificial intelligence, satellite communications, computers, cell phones, voice recognition technology that's all been perfected, really. It's just a matter of them making it happen. So pretty soon, I think in years, that technology could be pretty commonplace. And so they're undoing, to their own admission, the European Commission says, undoing the Babel effect. We're undoing what God did to us. We're going to unify the world. We're going to unify the world through laws, through culture, through language, including what you can say and what you can't say. Remember, in this country, in every state, it was illegal to have sodomy was illegal, which is homosexuality was illegal. And then states started dropping it, but some people in Texas were arrested. And it went all the way to the Supreme Court, caught in the act of sodomy. Went to the Supreme Court. And you know what? I won't say which one. I think I know which one. But to be sure, one of the Supreme Court justices appealed to the European Commission Constitution and said, it's not illegal over there, so it shouldn't be illegal here. And that was what the decision was based on, to make it illegal. To say that sodomy is illegal, which God said is illegal, is an abomination to him. So we see there the Medo-Persian. We're going to globalize the law. We're going to globalize the law. We're going to globalize the culture. We're going to globalize the language. We're going to globalize tyranny. And we see it developing. Not here the way the Antichrist is bringing it, ultimately, but it's coming. So, then it says, verse 3, picking up from where we left off, and I saw one of his heads, the 10 heads of the 10-nation global empire, because he's the head. The Antichrist is going to be the head of this 10-nation global empire. As if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. So this Antichrist is going to be killed. And he's going to come back to life to imitate the resurrection of Jesus, to deceive the world. And he's going to be dead. This will be taken. And when is this going to take place? It takes place 3.5 years before Jesus comes back. When does Jesus come back? At Tabernacles, according to the scriptures pertaining to the Feast of Tabernacles. If you spin the calendar back 3.5 years, you get to the time of the Feast of Passover. So he's going to die on, when did Jesus die? Passover. When did Jesus resurrect? Same week as Passover, during the middle of Passover week. So apparently, Antichrist is going to die, and he's going to resurrect. And he's going to be declaring himself, and he's already declared himself, God. Some speculate that what gets him dead, when the Antichrist is possessed by Satan, then he's going to go into the temple, declare himself to be God, and one of the Jewish temple guards, I heard this from Grant Jeffries years and years ago, and I actually think, yeah, it makes sense. One of the guards are going to say, you can't do that, boom. Or hit him with a sword, because guns will be outlawed by then. Hit him with a sword, something. And he gets killed, and then he comes back to life. And some speculate that Zechariah 11:17 is referring to the wound that he gets, because in Zechariah 11:17 it talks about the worthless shepherd. Now Jesus, what did Jesus call himself? The good shepherd. He says, I am the good shepherd and I care for my sheep. I have other sheep that are not in my sheepfold, talking about us Gentiles. I'm the good shepherd that lays down my life for the sheep. Well, what the Antichrist is, he's referred to as the worthless shepherd, if this verse is talking about him. It says, woe to the worthless shepherd, which I do think it's talking about the Antichrist, who leaves the flock. He doesn't protect the people of the world. He wants to kill the people of the world. And he's going to leave the Jews. The Jews are going to think he's their Messiah. They're going to say, okay, we rejected the good shepherd, and now we're accepting this Antichrist Messiah. And because he let us build the temple, let us do animal sacrifices again for the first time in 2,000 years. And so then when he goes in to declare himself to be God and says, you got to stop this animal sacrifice because that's in worship to Yahweh, and now you're going to worship me, then You know, he becomes the worthless shepherd because he abandons them, and actually he goes to hunt and kill them. Who leaves the flock? A sword shall be against his arm and against his right eye, and his arm shall completely wither, and his right eye shall be totally blinded. So he's not going to be without evidence of his wounds, apparently, if that applies. And again, isn't the Bible incredible? Because if that is a verse, and it really is a strong indication that it is, God is even giving us that detail. So the people that have your Bibles that you've sent them during the tribulation period, and they're going to read Zechariah, and they go, God told us, man, his right eye is bad, and his arm is, this God who knows everything. And I saw one of its heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. How could the whole world marvel at a man dying in Jerusalem and coming to life however many days later? How could that happen? How could the whole world know that? When the Bible's going to, in a moment, it's going to say, and he's able to continue. He's given authority to continue for only 42 months, 3.5 years. That means something has to happen in Jerusalem. And that word has to get around the whole world, who's only going to hear about, oh, there's this Antichrist guy, and he died, and he came alive, and you've been hearing about Jesus doing that 2,000 years ago, but now he's here, and they're going to get that message to everybody in the world in 3.5 years in John's day. You'd have to have a pretty fast camel to do that. So, but John wasn't talking about his day. He was talking about our day. Are people going to be able to marvel? Are all the people in the world going to be able to marvel? At the same time, they're going to be seeing the Antichrist killing the two witnesses and seize their bodies, and they're all marveling about that, and they marvel about the Antichrist. Oh, he's dead. I mean, they're going to say, look at them. He got his head whacked in his arm or whatever. He's dead. And now he comes alive, and the whole world's going to marvel because it's going to be on the national news, international news. Not possible until global video communication technology, which has come in our lifetime. Everybody's, it's going to be more marveling than Jesus. Why? Because Paul writes, man, 500 people at one time, eyewitnesses to him resurrecting. There's going to be hundreds of millions of eyewitnesses at what has been demonstrated when the Antichrist comes to life by the power of Satan. Verse 4, so they worshipped the dragon, Satan, who gave authority to the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Everybody in the last days, in the tribulation period, the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, for you to stay alive physically, you have to worship Satan. It's going to be universal religion, Satan worship. And is Satan worship already growing? Leaps and bounds in our culture, Satan worship. Because Satan is getting ready for his man of the hour. And when it says, who is able to make war with him, even if they don't want to worship him as the beast, they're going to. Even though they might not want to worship Satan, they're going to. Why? Because later on it says, if you don't worship him, you die. And so who's able to make, who can get rid of this guy if somebody did get rid of him and he's come back to life? How are we going to get rid of him and save our skins? For the time on earth that you save your skin and you go to eternal damnation because you worship Satan and the Antichrist instead of Almighty God. Which goes back to our study of Hebrews that says we are slaves of sin and Satan as long as we fear about our life. As soon as Jesus sets us free from the fear of dying, then we are no longer a slave of Satan. And that's what Jesus does, because he says, Kevin, don't worry what they can do to your body. Don't worry what they can do to your life, your temporary miserable life on earth. What you should be worried about is what I'm going to divide. It's just a simple decision, heaven, hell. Heaven is forever and ever. For in glory with the God who created everything, and hell is the people that wanted to worship Satan instead of God to save their miserable life. Because they got deceived by him. Nobody here, right? I don't care who makes war with him. My Jesus can make war with him. My Jesus is going to come back and he's going to put an end to the Antichrist and his kingdom and the devil Satan, lock them all up into the pit of hell. That's who the answer is. I want to worship that God, Jesus, instead of worrying about the Antichrist and his Satan sidekick. And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, the blasphemy of calling himself God. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months, 3.5 years, because it goes along with the fact, first 3.5 years, which Revelation talks nothing about the Antichrist first 3.5 years. It's Daniel that talks about what he's doing first 3.5 years. But then at the middle, kills the two witnesses. He's killed when he goes into the temple to shut down temple sacrifice of the Jews, declares himself to be God. He's killed. He comes back alive. He then, for the next 3.5 years, he has the authority to go and kill everybody and the Jews, except for the Jews that ran away, as we covered in previous studies, to ran off to the wilderness. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. He's going to be just like the government that is saying, you can't talk about Jesus, or you'll be fired as a teacher. You won't be hired as a journalist. You won't be on a single nightly news broadcast if you're a lover of Jesus, want to proclaim anything about Jesus. Now, where can Jesus be glorified in this culture today without losing your job? Just think about that. Teachers, people that want to be teachers, people that want to be workers, people that want to, the persecution is building up because it's going to go along with here. Satan and the Antichrist are always wanting to rule the world in a way to where shut up about your Jesus. Because Satan wants to be glorified. Satan is going to get inside of this man and said, worship me. And for everybody that bows to him and his image and takes his name in their hand or their forehead, as we get to the end of chapter 13, every single one of them, he's going to be in a spiritual realm. He's going to be shaking his fist at God and saying, look, you know, Peter, when he preached about Jesus on Pentecost, thousands came to him to worship Jesus. Look at me. Millions have come to worship me and to take my name in their hands. He goes, yeah, they made their choice. Everybody gets to make a choice. You worship God or you worship Satan. You worship life, you embrace life, or you embrace death. And yes, Satan, you've got your minions, but you haven't got them all. That's kind of cool. Doesn't get us all. And Satan hates us. Hates his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. Angels, the angels that didn't fall with him. The people that are already in heaven. I don't care if he hates me. I care who loves me. And especially when the one who loves me has power over the one that hates me. So why should we let him rule our life at all? Amen. Revelation 13:7, it was granted to him to make war with the saints and overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 12, verse 7. Authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. Once again, how does he do in 3.5 years, how does he get authority over every single nation on earth? Back in John's day when he wrote this. Not possible. Another reason why I think Jesus put in the last verses of Revelation, it says, now for you guys that are copying this, better don't add to it, better not take away from it, because if you do, I'm going to take away from you the promises of this word, and I'm going to add to you the plagues of this Bible, because people would have had a hard time copying these words. How is this guy going to do the whole world? How is everybody going to see this? How is everybody going to rejoice? And Jesus says, don't worry. In the end days, it's going to be clear. It's not clear to you, so don't mess with it. It'll be clear at the end. Daniel 12:7. Then I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, and he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it shall be for a time, times, and half a time. Because Daniel was going, I want to understand more of the timing. And so he's saying it's going to be the last, this is pertaining to the last 3.5 years of what's going to be the tribulation period yet future to us. And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, Going along with Revelation 13:7, that he makes war with the saints and overcomes them to the point where total shattering of the power of everybody who confesses Jesus, all their heads are off. All these things shall be finished. Although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? I don't get it. And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed. You're not going to get it. Nobody's going to get it for thousands of years. It's sealed till what? Till the time of the end. Because God knew when he was writing this what's going to happen in the last times. We're going to have a technological explosion that is just mind-boggling when you think about it. The world and all that it did, and all, you know, I mean, all the history of man, and then in our technological explosion that really started around the 70s. When the first computers were just starting to come out. You know, and the first ones we knew about. Military had them a little bit before that. But I mean, I remember in high school saying, wow, these computer things are coming out. And then look at where we are. And actually, Daniel was prophesied that there's going to be a knowledge explosion and ability to travel rapidly in the last days. Till the time of the end, many shall be purified, made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. Do you ever notice that problem? You know, you talk to people and you say, don't you understand the wickedness of these things and stuff? And they go, what are you talking about? Talking about the scriptures and stuff. We were at a restaurant with some friends last night, and Mike was trying to share with, we're trying to share with her. And I had a track for her, and I said, now if I leave this for you, are you going to throw it away? Would it be a waste, a waste for me to leave this track with you? And she goes, yep, it'd be a waste. Not interested. And then we started to, she goes, I was raised in a Christian home. And then Mike starts hanging, well then, look at all the prophecies, look at where everything is. And it was just like, you know, her response was like, nope, don't want to go there. Don't want to hear. And like we pray for Sunday school, we pray for you parents that are raising your children, because there are so many voices in the world today to try and turn your children into what happened to her. And I actually did, and we got away from witnessing. I said, please, can I please just ask a question? What was it that changed you? What was it that took it away? Well, I don't want to get into it, but life experiences. And when I realized how many times the Bible's been rewritten. And then I, oh, okay. You're sitting there going, your mind is just saying, oh, if I could just sit down and tell you, you've been lied and deceived. You've been lied to and deceived. But there was no way to do that. And so who was it? Who was that extra voice that told her, well, you know, I'm a professor or a college, or I wrote a book, or I made a video or something about how the Bible is just full of garbage. And Mike wanted to be able to give her prophecy. You can't argue away prophecy. See, prophecy proves this Bible's not been messed with because it keeps coming true. So it's like, oh, yeah, I mean, they printed it, but we have the Greek manuscripts. We have the Hebrew manuscripts. We are so, so close, 99% sure that every word is really as it was penned. And the prophecy's proved it's maintained its godly authority because it's coming true. Don't want to hear it. Sad. So the wicked are going to do what wicked people do. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Now that's interesting, because we just got told in Revelation that the Antichrist is going to be able to continue for 42 months. Now that's 1,278 days. So this is 1,290 days. So that's 12 days more. So he goes into the, and this is my, actually this came to me just yesterday. He goes into the temple and he says, okay, stop the sacrifice. You Jewish high priest, you're done. No more worship of Yahweh. And because now the Antichrist is going to say, I've got Satan inside of me. I just got rid of the two witnesses and I'm coming in here to prove that I'm God. I'm bigger than him. And so you've got to worship me. And so he does that, and then he dies. And that's, he does that on 1,290 days. And then about 12 days later, he's given the authority to continue. So what if that's kind of an indication of the commotion that's happening between him dying and then him being somehow brought back to life enough to be able to then go on a rampage? Now, this is the part that came to me yesterday. Put that with Jesus saying, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, then you must flee to the wilderness immediately. And he says, do not get down. Don't take your coat out of your house. Don't do anything. You've got to get out of town right now. And people are going to say that we're listening to Jesus. They're going to say, why? He's dead. People are going to say, there's going to be some people saying, he's dead. The Antichrist is dead. We don't have to worry about him. You know, I don't know what Jesus was thinking and the other prophets, but who cares? And some people are going to say, no, I'm going to listen to Jesus. He's always right. And so I'm going to just run, whether it's a day or 12 days or whatever it is that takes to the time for him to then get rejuvenated enough to have the authority to continue for those number of days down to the days. Then he goes on the rampage and the people said, I just listen to Jesus. I don't care about a dead guy because also Revelation says he comes alive. Won't that be amazing? I mean, in the tribulation period, won't it be amazing for the people that are going to trust God and his word and his prophetic word and get out of town? I know he's dead now, but he's coming alive through the power of Satan. I'm getting out of here. So, and blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. And we'll get that in Revelation 20. There's a reason for that, the sheep goat judgment of Matthew 25. Revelation 13:7, it was granted to him to make war with the saints and overcome them, and authority was given him over every tribe and tongue and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Turn to Revelation 20:12. Now, what's it saying? It's really saying everybody that wants to save their skin will worship him. There'll be no options. Oh yeah, you're a Presbyterian and, you know, I'm a Catholic and so you do your thing and I do. No, there's going to be one thing in the tribulation period. So, and it says, and this is what happens to everybody that's names are written in the book of life from the tribulation period. It says, and I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God and the books were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And this is the book of life of the Lamb. Who is the Lamb? Jesus. Who is the one that lets your name be written into the book of life as far as God's concerned? Jesus. If you trust in Jesus as your Savior, you are written in the book of life. No place else do you care about your name being written than right there. I want my name in the Hall of Fame of baseball. How lame is that? Or football, which is going to be vaporized when this earth is rolled up like a scroll and a new heaven and new earth are created. There is nothing important in this life but getting your name in this book. The book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which are written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it. And death and Hades delivered up the dead that were in them. And they were judged, each one according to their works. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So I'm going to worship the Antichrist to save my life, which means as soon as you take his name in your hand or on your forehead and you bow and worship his image, you have taken the mark of the beast and you are lost forever and ever. That's what the Bible says for those tribulation people, those people that are saving their skins, they're done. And then it says, and then everybody that rejected Jesus before the tribulation period, they're all coming before God, as we're going to see when we actually study this. They're all coming before God and say, I didn't need Jesus. Oh, then your name's not written in the book of life. Because I was a good person. Let's see. Here's the books of everything you ever did. And then they're going to be judged out of that. So everybody gets what they want. I don't want to believe. I don't want to receive the grace of God. I don't need it. I'm a good person. Okay, you get what you want. We're going to just define good in heaven with all the things that you've ever done. I know I'm a wretched sinner. I know I don't deserve to go to heaven. I want Jesus to save me from sin. Oh, your name's written in the book of life. Come into the kingdom prepared for you. Going back to Revelation 13:8, I want to be in the Lamb's Book of Life. I am in the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't have to even wonder if I'm in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus says, you know, these things I've written to you that you might know that you have eternal life, it says in 1 John. And I've looked at those things that he's written, and yes, I believe in Jesus. Yes, I don't care what the world says. I'm not going to bow and worship Satan or the things of the world or believe in some other guru or some other salvation plan. I don't care if they kill me. My name's written in the book of life, and I hope yours is too. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience of the faith of the saints. There's two different kinds of, you know, he who has an ear, let him hear. You know, it's tragic. That waitress yesterday, she had ears attached to her head. And the function of the stuff in your ear was properly feeding the impulses of the vibration waves into her brain, and she was properly interpreting English, but she couldn't hear squat because she didn't have ears to hear. And that's what Jesus is saying. If you got ears to hear, I want you to think about what's happening here. Life and death, eternity with God in heaven, or eternity in hell with Satan. And then he goes on to say, even for the people that are living in that time, because it's going to be so horrible for the people like us that are finding themselves in the tribulation period and might even believe this to be true because of the Bible you left for them, but they're going to have to be making that tough decision. What am I going to do? And what God is saying is, have an ear to hear, because some of you are going to go into captivity and there's no getting away. And some of you are going to be killed with the sword. But be patient. Who cares if they stick you in the FEMA camp? You know, now, see, we're already talking, people are already talking about going to FEMA camps for being declared a terrorist in the country today for just believing what we believe. And that might happen today before the rapture. But when the Antichrist is doing his tyrannical, lawful, you know, culture and language tyranny over the world, nobody gets away is what that verse is saying. Have ears to hear. You're going to captivity. You're going to be given time to get re-educated. And if you don't get re-educated, then you're going to get killed by the sword. And if you think your AR is going to save you, or your prep and everything else, I'm going to hide here and not have to deal with the Antichrist, then guess again, he's going to hunt you down. And just another article, the new religious extremists, Evangelical Christians and Pro-Life Activists, by Michael Snyder of Prophecy Newswatch, reporting on this week's debates in Congress on the Domestic Terrorism Prevention Act of 2021. Now, remember, after 9/11, you know, they gave them the Patriot Act power and all this other stuff. Yeah, go get the terrorists. And now they're changing it to the Patriot Act of Domestic Terrorism Prevention Act. Who's the domestic terrorist? You are. So there was a guy we used to have as a guest speaker every once in a while to teach us how they're brainwashing the kids into groupthink and into facts don't matter, it's how do you feel. And he had a term, says, and this is 25 years ago. He who defines terms controls your life. Get the terrorists. The Muslim rag hats. Oh, okay, everybody. You know, get the terrorists. They're those Christians that believe that, you know, I could go on with all the things that would get us off YouTube, but that you know what I'm talking about. You believe in Jesus. You believe in the truth about what happened in election. You believe the truth about election. You believe the truth that God calls it an abomination to slaughter children in the womb. You believe these things that are not allowed to be part of the language and culture of the coming New World Order. So, patience of the saints. They're going to have to be patient and say, Jesus, I know you told us it's going to be like this. It is like this, and we're going to wait for you. And however we get there. And we can do the same thing now. Revelation 13:11 through 18. I fear we're not going to finish this and get to the mark of the beast, but Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. He exercised all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image of the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is the wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Most Fentanyl's last three verses, most famous probably in the world. Mark of the beast. You can go almost any country and, wow, you have mark of the beast. They know about these verses. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. I have verses there in Revelation 16:13, Revelation 19:20, Revelation 20:10 that make it clear that this is a man. It's a right-hand man to the Antichrist, and he's referred to as the false prophet. So if you're going to have global government, what do you have to have? Global religion. You got to have something that unifies the world, because religion divides people. And if you're going to create this global unity with culture and language, which is what it says, he was like the leopard, he's like Greece, you need to unify the religions. He's going to be the false prophet to do so. This man is going to be the false prophet to do so. And he's going to unify the world by saying, you know what, we decided to worship one God here. We're monotheistic, and it's the Antichrist. And if you worship him, you can be part of our community. If you don't, your culture canceled permanently. And so you can look at those. And he, the false prophet, verse 12, exercises all the authority of the first beast, the Antichrist. He's going to have all the powers of Satan in him too, in his presence, and causes the earth and those who dwell to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So in a sense, who is this guy like? See, if the Antichrist is trying to imitate Jesus by resurrecting, then who is this? It's John the Baptist. This is the Antichrist, John the Baptist. See, John the Baptist says, I must decrease, he must increase. He's the guy. I'm here to tell you, he's the one. And so Satan has his own Baptist. And he performs great signs so that he makes fire come down from heaven to the earth in sight of all men. Who's that imitating? Elijah. Who else is it imitating close to this? The two witnesses, who are now dead. So what the world is being saying, hey, you know, those 144,000 who are gone, those two witnesses that are now gone, you know, the Antichrist killed those two witnesses who said they were from God, so how could he have done that with the power? And he rose from the grave, just like the two witnesses were saying, you need to believe in Jesus, and the 144,000 saying, you need to believe in Jesus who resurrected. And so they're going to be the equivalent of the Mormons who say Latter-day prophets. You know, we're the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day prophets. Forget the other ones that said that we're a cult group. We're the new group. So they're going to be deceiving. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do. God is going to let Satan have full reign on his angelic powers, which are great, and in the sight of the beast and those who dwell on the earth. I was going to have us go to 2 Thessalonians 2:8, but we covered it before, and I want you to have it in your notes, 2 Thessalonians 2:8 through 10, where it says, once again, Paul says, this guy deceives by great signs and wonders. Because people reject the truth, they're going to be given over to the lie, because I don't want to believe in Jesus. And so by that rejection of truth, they're actually given over to a lie to believe a lie. And a lie becomes the truth, and the truth becomes a lie. dwell on the earth to make an image of the beast who was wounded with a sword and lived. He, the false prophet, was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. One of my favorite commentators in Revelation is Seiss, the guy who wrote in the 1800s. And he said, you know, at the time he has no technology. He just says, you know, the God who created the heavens and the earth and tells us this, somehow, some way, a idol, you know, an image of a beast is an idol. And behind that idol is the devil, demons, it says in the Bible. And God is going to allow, somehow these idols are going to talk. You know, this idol. He goes, I don't understand how everybody in the world is going to be able to see it talk, but it's going to happen. Well, today you could have holographic images. You could have broadcasts. You know, John's looking down on this screen, as I've shared before. Maybe it's big screen TVs and stadiums and whatever. And John just sees this image of the beast and it's talking. And it's saying, bow down to me and worship me. Can you imagine if that's what happens? It's going to be literally fulfilled either by a miracle or by holographic digital technologies of being it into the stadiums of the world. And A to L, go to the stadium today. And you're going to be seeing a broadcast from the Fuhrer. And he is going to ask you to bow in the stadium. And we're going to say, anybody that doesn't bow is going to be taken away by the stadium staff. And so then every head is bowed in worship to the image of the Antichrist, who is both speaking in there as an image. And anybody that's not bowing gets hauled away. And then everybody else gets programmed on the way out. Okay, now take the tattoo of his name in your hand. If you don't have a hand, your forehead. Everybody's got a forehead if you don't have a hand. And now you're part of the beast system. You are now doomed in hell forever. I don't know how exactly it's going to happen, but it's going to happen just like the Word of God said. And he, the false prophet, causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate. Now, I'm going to show like a 4-minute video here from Catherine Austin Fitz, and then I'll close. I'm going to, so while we cue this up, we're ready, right, Bob, to show this?
Yeah, I mean, it's awful. I mean, and so you think that we're getting a dress rehearsal for control, some type of war. This is way more than this because it's a hoax. I mean, the hospital ship.
Well, let's step back.
Three people are in New York.
Step back and look at where the dollar syndicate wants to go.
Yeah.
So the important thing to understand, Greg, about where many of them, it's not everybody, but where many of them would like to go, they want to end currency.
Paper,
so
right
money now we have a currency system.
Yeah.
You put a dollar in your pocket. I put a dollar in my pocket. Your dollar and my dollar have the same value because they function in a market. It may be rigged. It may be influenced. It may be manipulated. But we can put a dollar in our pocket and walk away and trade it without going through a digital mechanism. If you move to crypto, and I just want to really underscore this, crypto is not a currency. It's a control system. So you move to a crypto and you're on the company system and you have a credit at the company store. And if you have a crypto and I have a crypto, your crypto can be arbitrarily taken away or changed in value if you don't behave. It's not a currency. It's a credit at the company store. And it's one that is not, that is not your asset. That is a credit at the company store. It's an asset of the company, and they can take it away or change its value like that. Now, if you look at the current currency, it's on a petrodollar standard. You know, so it used to be on a gold standard, and it went to being on a petrodollar standard after the Nixon shock broke the gold standard. Now they're talking about a credit system on the company store that will have as its collateral a human being. So you see Bill Gates come out with tech, with ID 2020. So every human being has a biometric ID and that can be tied with the currency system. We can talk about how that may or may not happen. But they're talking about changing from an oil standard to human standard, and where I come from, we call that slavery. So where the dollar syndicate wants to go is what you and I know as Christians is Mark of the Beast. This is moving into a Mark of the Beast system, which is not a currency system, it's a control system. So it's the end of currencies, is what they're proposing.
In some way, shape, or form. We don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but that's what they're working towards.
Well, if you look at the planning and the design and the competition, it's fluid right now. You know, there's competition over what the design will be. It was very interesting. I won't bore you with all the details, but I had an incredible experience in Denmark a year ago, and I was trying to figure out what's going on in Denmark. They had one of the tech firms in Denmark was being paid by the U.S. Navy to come up with a chip that could be implanted in the human body that would integrate with Ripple.
Yeah.
So Ripple is a crypto, and it's one that's gotten a lot of promotion from the American establishment, in my experience, just my impression. So why is the U.S. Navy paying a Danish tech company to come up with an implantable chip that will integrate with Ripple? Exactly.
Catherine Austin Fitz is an American investment banker, former public official who served as managing director of Dillion, Reed & Company, and as United States Assistant Secretary of Housing and Urban Development for Housing during the presidency of George Herbert Walker Bush. So that lady's not just some nobody. I mean, she's an investment banker. She worked as the assistant to the HUD of the United States of America. And she sees what's going on, and we're headed to a digital currency, and that digital currency will be the enslavement of the world. That digital currency is not the vaccine certificate. It is not getting the vaccine. It's not even getting the Mark of the Beast. It's not getting the patch that gives you a number in your arm, because they have the plan. Bill Gates, 2020, has that with Luciferus, a special chemical that puts that mark in your arm. That is not the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast will be getting his name and worshiping his image. But all of that is leading to it, because pretty soon we're going to be led to where you can't bank unless you have a digital account. And as soon as you are non-compliant, they can turn you off. But see, what will happen during the mark of the beast is the go-no-go about being turned on or off is going to be, have you worshipped the Antichrist? So people could be living for years under this, you know, this digital currency, enslaved to the masters of the world, but then that enslavement will kick it up at the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, and you will become disenfranchised if you don't get the mark of the beast, and you'll die, as the scriptures say. So, for those that want to reject Jesus now, they're saying they want to be part of this. There's no reason to reject Jesus now. Is anybody up till today saying, you know what, I haven't wanted Jesus, but you know what, today I think I want to get right with God? Anybody? Raise your hand. Be bold. You're raising your hand? You want to give your life to Jesus? Okay, she's given her life to Jesus, but she wants more of him. So how many of us can raise our hand to that? Amen. We've given our life to Jesus. Let's give him more, and it might cost us. Even in America, even before the rapture, it might cost us quite a bit to raise our hand. And that persecution is going to do what? It's going to get us closer, just a closer walk with thee, as we sang during the worship time. It's going to give us that closer walk with him, because everything else is going to go away. Father, we thank you for your word. I just thank you for your promises to us, Lord. And we thank you for your prophetic warnings that let us realize that we truly are reaching the end, and that you alone know the end from the beginning and have told us these things so that we would not be deceived by the world, by the Antichrist who's coming, that we know that the world is lying in all of their rejection of you, that only a fool would reject an offer of everlasting life through faith in you, just simply humbling ourselves before you and saying, God, save me a sinner. Help us to walk in a deeper walk with you until the day you call us home. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship God. Get better than that. We're going to stand with Jesus forever and ever and ever. God bless you. Keep you in his care until we can fellowship again.